Let's bow to prayer. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for this great honor, this privilege to come and to fellowship with the living God. We are deeply grateful. We say we love you and that we appreciate, Lord, all you have done to make this possible. As we come again, Lord, we are acutely aware of our human limitations in and of ourselves, especially the limitation of the human mind that is yet to be the mind of Christ, both to deliver as well as receive this word as we ought. And so we come to ask for help. And I in particular come, I strip myself entirely, wholly and completely of every confidence I might have in my preparation, my knowledge, whatever I know, all that does not matter now. All that matters is your mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. I ask, Lord, as I speak, Lord, you speak through me. Let there be a free flow from you through me to the people that I declare and speak your word. Let it go forth in accuracy, Lord, in power, in great clarity, in simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of your spirit, causing an eternal work to be wrought in the hearts and lives of all men, myself included, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will follow it to back it up, to cause men to be hearers and doers of the things which you hear in the name of Jesus. As I speak, Lord, help me to be concise, help me to be precise, bringing forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. That I speak your power go forth into the atmosphere, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our eyes of understanding to be enlightened by the revelation of the word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our Lord emotions to be controlled and tempered even further by the precious fruit of your spirit, which is love, in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, Lord God, your power and your presence will go forth into the air, Lord God, to cause this word to be a word in season that will bless people and lift up men to become more like you. In particular, I ask for mercy to be faithful. I duck under the anointing of my fathers, and I ask for mercy, Lord God. As I speak this word, it will go forth as a river of refreshing, a river of life to bring life, Lord, and understanding to all, and bring refreshing to all, especially unto them. And as they drink and eat from this vine they have planted, let them be truly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. Thank you, Father, because you are faithful. You will do more than we can ask or think. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your abundant grace. And Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people say, amen. And the return of the Spirit in full measure, not in the earnest as it was in the Acts of the Apostles, but now in the full measure. But from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they've said we can get an inkling of what is going to come. And we can see some of that today, even in the passage, which I believe the Lord will have us go through today. Now, when we were in our last study in the book of Acts in chapter 4, we saw how the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin to come to defend, as if it could be defended, come to defend what they had done in healing the man at the gate beautiful in the temple. The apostles Peter and John had healed this man at the hour of prayer. And we saw even from the beginning, right from the beginning of the arraignment, let's put it that way, before the Sanhedrin, that this was a political thing. We saw that even the Sanhedrin itself had been corrupted by nepotism. There were two high priests instead of one, and many of the members of the Sanhedrin themselves were also members of the former high priest's family. So there was an element of nepotism there. Anyway, they brought these apostles before them, and they began to ask them by what name they did what they did. And of course, we saw Peter reply with such power and boldness. That was a great part of what he was doing. We're talking more about that today. A great part of what they did at that time, the boldness which they spoke. And they told them in no uncertain terms that this was the power of God that had been released by the same Jesus Christ whom they, the Sanhedrin, had crucified. And we saw how Peter quotes scripture after scripture to prick the conscience of the scribes and Pharisees, telling them that this was the stone that they rejected that has now become the head of the cornerstone in the name of Jesus. And so he went on until the, when we stopped last time, we saw that Peter declared that there is no other name on earth given among men whereby men must say. In other words, it says, be this known unto you. In other words, if you don't know already, can you imagine? We said a fisherman teaching the scribes and Pharisees, an unlearned, unlettered fisherman. That boldness is going to be a part of what is going to bring the word of God to the nations in this season, we said. This day of boldness, this day of the coming of the Spirit without measure. Amen. So this is what happened, and we were there in Acts chapter 4. Today we're going to start in verse 13, which continues with this same discourse. But we'll see one or two things here again. Again, Acts chapter 4 in verse 13, we'll start from there. And we trust the Lord to help us in Jesus' name. Acts 4:13, we'll start. Let's see. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, boldness, this was the hallmark of what the Peter and John were doing, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they're going to marvel at you too. Amen. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Hallelujah. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all. Can you imagine? Nor teach in the name of Jesus. How can you do that? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, the same boldness again, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. So when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Let's back up a bit and see how Father will help us today. As we said, the hallmark of the apostles' defense was this unprecedented boldness, the utter boldness by which they spoke. And the Sanhedrin could see from their appearance, because you must understand, these were fishermen. They didn't change their clothes. Maybe some of their clothes were even smelling of fish. I don't know. But, you know, they just looked like ordinary men. So on the outside, in comparison to the Sanhedrin, who were dressed in all their ecclesiastic robes and stuff, they look like, who are these people? But then the boldness was hitting them in the face all the time, and they were forced to acknowledge that total lack of intimidation displayed by John and Peter through at the place of the Sanhedrin's trial. Now, John didn't say too much. I don't know, maybe it was the Holy Spirit that kept him silent, but he must have had the same heart and the same inclinations as Peter. Very important. Because you see, you don't want to go into a tight situation with somebody who doesn't agree with you. Or someone who's pulling your sleeves when you want to say something. He's got no wisdom. John didn't say anything. But he must have been standing there with Peter. Amen? The lesson is, when you're in a tight situation, please know the people that you have around you, so that they won't hinder your boldness before God and before men. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Get somebody whose righteousness has made him as bold as a lion. Don't be a companion of fools in Jesus' name. Anyway, so we see in verse 7, he says, and give me this Acts 4:13, verse 13 rather, how in Amplify, let's see what it says. Acts 4, it says, yes, this is what I want. See, when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, that's what I want to see. Unfettered. Where did he get this unfettered eloquence from? This is a man who should have been cowering. This is the same Peter who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the same Peter who went a fishing. Amen. Just a few weeks before. Amen. And here he was speaking with boldness, but says with unfettered eloquence. And this attitude was a source of miraculous marveling. Amen. It was a doing of the Lord. It was marvelous in their sight. Amen. And in our sight also, in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is what the Bible tells us. It says that God is going to use the base things, the ordinary things of the world, to confound the wise. Amen. That no man should glory in his presence. Amen. God was using these fishermen. The Bible says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And here they were before the highest court of the land in the Jewish religion at that time, declaring the boldness, the manifold wisdom of God, and the things that God has done. Amen? All those things that are despised, like us in Niger. Amen? In Nigeria, is there, can anything good come out of Nigeria? Wait and see. You wait and see. You will hear and you will see the unfettered boldness by which we will declare the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers in this day. That's what God is showing us. Amen? Don't worry, folks. God is about to break forth. And you're going to go out in boldness. Amen? So this in our own time also, we are destined to see these confrontations. Amen? Between, for well, the pastor's taught us, between the Saul leadership and the new leadership, the Saul kingship and the Eli priesthood that has been now changed to David and to Samuel. Amen? These things will come to pass. The Bible talks about that there's going to be a war of attrition, if you want to put it that way. It said there will be a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. This is already happening. Amen? And it's only a matter of time before it breaks into the open. It's already happening in the spirit now. But it's going to become more and more obvious as the days go on. Let's continue. So they took knowledge of them, the Bible says, that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. That said, they were untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages. And they marveled. And then they recognized that they had been with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Unlearned and ignorant men became eloquent. Because they had been with Jesus. And so were you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember the Lord, the Bible talks about Jesus, said the Lord Jesus spoke with power and authority. Not as the scribes. Because he was of a different order of priesthood. Amen. He understood not just by the word, but also by revelation. And he had authority because he understood the scriptures and he spoke by the unction of the Spirit. Amen. Again, compare this. This is what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Two things that happened. Number one, the resurrection. Can you imagine you see somebody who you yourself saw crucified on the cross? And then 3 days later, he comes and gives you a 40-day seminar. I mean, if you don't change after that, then there's a problem. You are watching the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified before you, and then you hear him for 40 days teaching you. Amen. Not only that, there was also the borrowed anointing. The Spirit had come. There was the earnest of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, plus the borrowed anointing that was upon Jesus that was working with them. So these people became live wires. Amen. Because of the witness of the resurrection power that had been released, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the borrowed anointing upon them, and that's what made them who they are. God gave them, the Bible says, a mouth and a wisdom that their adversaries were not able to resist. And God will do the same for us. And if these were children, these were babes in Christ. How much more you who by the grace of God has been doing this thing for years and years, using the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God, and then to receive now in that state the anointing, first of all the borrowed anointing, and then later on the full anointing without measure, you're going to be a marvel to this generation. Marvels that cannot be hid, marvels that cannot be curtailed. You're going to go to the ends of the earth, declare the manifold wisdom of God, and none will stay you and none will stop you. That's where we're going, folks. Amen. They said they had been with Jesus, but the essence I want to bring about here is that they were not the only people who had been with Jesus. This was just Peter and John, and of course there were other disciples back there at home that were probably waiting for them to come and give them news. We'll see that later on. But the essence is there were many, many, the Bible speaks of multitudes who had been with Jesus. Let's even forget the multitudes. Just think about those who started, the 500 disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to when he resurrected. The Bible says about 500 of them. Not only were they with Jesus, they sat down, they heard the man who had been crucified and had risen again preaching for 40 days. And then God said, wait for me, I'm coming back. Just go and wait and tarry there. And of all the 500, only 120 who had been with Jesus but refused to remain with Jesus. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. They had other things better to do. Otherwise, they would have been there. And so they missed out upon what God had planned since before time began. So it's not just much as being with Jesus or identifying. It's more like seeing him, his purpose in our lives by revelation of the Spirit. And then, praise the Lord, staying in the same place until it comes to pass. Amen. Until the purpose of God is fulfilled, you stay there, you tarry in that upper room until he comes, amen? And the Lord comes and makes you an able minister of his purpose in the earth, amen? The key to staying in the place where God has appointed you is to have, number one, an understanding, the place of being with him, his revelation knowledge, and a foretaste of the blade of experiential knowledge, which comes through obedience to instruction. That's what the essence of, you know, clean with the blood, loading with the earth, fire by the Spirit, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit to perfect holiness. And you stay there, understanding that there is something being done in your life until the day that God comes to take you out and make you a bold declarer of his purpose, like he did Peter and John. All they did was stay in the upper room. They just stayed there. And they were praying. There was unity. They were praying. And then one day the Spirit of God came. Just the same way it's going to come. Amen? As you stay in the place of preparation, in that upper room, until the day God... We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season has come. Amen? So you're not only just being... You're not just being there, you know, lackadaisically, but actively, experientially, tapping into the word of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, this is what happened. So, they were there. Now, I wrote here very something very funny. I said, in this instant society, that's the problem we have in this particular generation we're in. Everything has to be done quick, quick, quick. Sharp, sharp. Laissez passer. Put it in manifest. And God doesn't work like that. Too. You have to tarry. Who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. Amen. I was going to get that. Though he tarries, wait for it. He will not tarry. He shall surely come. You got to stay in the place. It's a process. It's a job being done in and through you by the Spirit. And God is not going to release you until you are ready. Say amen, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you got to be ready for what's coming. God is not going to use half-baked vessels. Not this time around, folks. Hitherto, God has put out his power upon people who are not ready. But this time, you're going to be ready. Amen? And this is a problem. One of the problems we have in the church today that God is correcting by the grace of God is this issue of teaching and obedience to instruction, particularly apostolic and prophetic teaching and preaching. So the revelation of the scripture is not there. Amen? And then also the issue of humility. We've spoken about humility all the time. Pastor was talking to us about humility again yesterday night. You know, said humility. Everything comes back to humility. Everything returns back to being humble and submitting yourself to obedience, to instruction, just like even Lord Jesus did. Amen. Jesus said then it is true. And today it is also true. He said, these people said they worship him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They were with Jesus. They were worshiping him. They were looking out for him, but their heart, there was no heart-to-heart communion, no heart-to-heart fellowship. And so most of them left. Even after they saw the resurrected Christ preaching for 40 days. I cannot fathom that thing. Ah, thank you, sir. That's it. The heart of man, they saw, but they didn't see. They believed, but they didn't believe. Otherwise, they would have been there. Amen? So, being with the Lord in a way that leads to transformational change is a matter of relationship at the heart level. Jesus himself said, learn of me. He says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And therefore, you find rest unto your soul. And that rest, in that place of rest, God will bring you up and bring you into the purpose and the plan that he has for you since before time began. The Bible says, you shall seek me and you shall find me when you seek me with what? All of your heart. Amen. And so this is what happened. So they were with Christ and many left. But the ones who were with him and stayed with him until the end got the anointing. Amen. We will stay to the end in Jesus' name. We will get the anointing in Jesus' name. This part of the anointing, me, I'm not going to miss it for anything. I don't know about you, but me, oh, whatever it takes. I think it's only me talking. I say whatever it takes, I will give it. If it means staying in one place, it won't be, of course. For 100 years, it doesn't matter. As long as I get it. That's the prize. the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press into it. Amen. So let's go back now. Acts chapter 4. Help me, Lord. 4 verse 14. Yes. Now, this is where I saw this. It says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Wow! Talk about signs and wonders. You see, this is important. Now, signs and wonders, Pastor said many times, do not give us faith. But signs and wonders are the advertising of the fact of the word of the gospel. And these people, they shut up. When they saw things, they said, this man at the gate before I was healed was there as not pie in the sky evidence, physical evidence. And so when they saw the physical evidence, that's the word. They were, you know what? They said, look what it says. It says, and behold the man which was here standing there could say nothing against it. Amen. It says, what shall we do to this man? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny. In other words, if they could deny it, they would have denied it. If they could have denied it, they would have done so. But the physical evidence was overwhelmingly present. The man was healed, he was standing there. And so they could say nothing. For the Bible says we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So there was timing. Bible, the pastor said, you know, put into silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let's have, I think that thing, 1 Peter chapter 2 somewhere. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? You know, that particular phrase. 1 Peter 2 chapter 15. Amen. I want to just look at that and see what it says. 1 Peter 2 15. For so, hello somebody, read along with me. For so is the will of God that what? With well doing, that ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's what the apostles did. And that's what you and I have to do. So that in this day, folks, let me tell you something. What's coming is going to be so marvelous. So great, so good. The Bible says we will do great works and even greater works than the Lord Jesus. I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to believe that there's going to be a lot of physical manifest evidence that they will try to deny, but because the evidence is so great, you know, we're still talking. Folks, we're still talking. Amen. It's good to talk. It's nice to talk. That's where we start there. But you see, when you speak something, my God is a great, like we were discussing yesterday, I said, you know, well, that's all these things that happened in our nation recently, that there was some people that were saying that if something doesn't happen, if their own kind doesn't win, they're going to, you know, wipe out a whole tribe of people. And that they will now come and see if their God will come and resurrect them. But what if it was so? That everybody that they try, and all the Christians say, oh yeah, try us. And everyone that was indeed killed was resurrected right before their eyes. Amen. Jairus is going to come against you. Jairus and Jambres are going to come. I have this thing in my head. I've been visualizing what's going to happen. When you go to some of these places, for example, ISIS or what these, you know, funny people are holding sway. And then you go to a village. You don't even have to go far. Just go up north. Oh boy, I believe these things are going to come to pass. Go to one of those places and you resurrect the entire village. And then they hear and say, waiting. The whole village say yes. Some people came and they laid hands on them. You know, it's that kind of power. Somebody dies, you lift him up, you resurrect him. It's been done before, but this time with greater power, with greater frequency, with consistency. Amen. Amen, folks. This is what God has planned. So that notable miracle will shut the foolish men up. Let God be true and every man a liar in Jesus' name. So this miracle, and you know, as I said, the elders, why did they do this? They wanted to deny it, but they couldn't. Why were they going to deny something that was so patently obvious, but were restrained by the physical evidence? Because the Bible says, this is the condemnation, that light is come, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They wanted to continue to oppress the people. They wanted to continue to keep them subject to bondage. They wanted to tell them that the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ was of no effect But they could not, because a notable miracle had been done, and that was manifest not just to a few, but to all. The word had gone forth in Jerusalem. 3,000, was it 3,000 or 5,000, got born again at once. Folks, and this is these are babes in Christ. So can you imagine what God is about to break out on and do? Amen. They try to hush it up. They severely threaten the apostles. Brethren, they're going to try and threaten us too. They said, don't speak to any money in that name at all. They call and say, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? And they're going to try and do the same to us too. Except we will beat them in their game. The Lord will do great miracles and signs and wonders. Breaking forth. That says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine. And nobody, when God wants to shine, nobody can stop His shining. Amen? And He's going to shine through His Zion church on earth. Amen? Amen? The established order will try and resist us. Pastor's told us that many times. But by the grace of God, we're going to ride that beast. Amen? We're going to overcome that opposition. And they will see the glory of God manifest in the earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, you let our light so shine. So let me see your good works and the great ones. I added that. And then they give glory to your fathers in heaven. Amen. By these great miraculous works and the demonstration of the wisdom of the mind of Christ. The mind that is totally saved. This world is going to see mighty deeds and wonders. Amen. Wisdom in all manner of sphere of human endeavor. And only that wisdom will also see the power. Miracles of healings, circumstantial, national miracles, economic miracles, all kinds of things are going to happen. It's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we'll redeem the name of the Lord that has been blasphemed among men by foolish and ignorant men in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Peter says, now, I love Peter's reply. Acts 4:18. And then they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, not teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, notice it was Peter and John. John didn't say anything. But he was just there as support. Rooted behind Peter or beside Peter. Supporting him in everything I was said. He says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. Says, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Oh, glory to God. And the Lord brought me straight to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Pastor Wally, give me John 1:1. Hallelujah. This is where the boldness comes from. Look what he says. Now, of course, they were talking physically. And of course, here also, John was there too. Amen. He said, John was talking also physically, but there's a prophetic principle behind I want to try and bring out by the Spirit. It says, let's read it together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, what did they say? Said, the things we have heard and seen, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Next verse. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Give me one more verse. For that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 1. Now, this is where it comes from. He said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. Now look what he says here. He says, John was saying, he says, that which we have heard. In other words, the word that was preached. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Amen. That which we have seen with our eyes. He's not talking, well, he is in this instance. But prophetically, the Bible says the spirit of Jesus is a witness. There's a witness of prophecy. The witness of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. He's talking about seeing with the eyes of understanding. He says, we have heard it. We have received by faith, and then we have to see it with our eyes by revelation. Amen. The eyes of our understanding must be enlightened by that word. So we will see the things which we have heard preached. Nobody's now saying it to us as second hand, but we now see it together. Amen. We now see and understand that which we have looked upon. In other words, we have given attention to. What did the disciples say? Say, look on us. The Bible says he looked to them expecting to receive. In other words, he paid attention. So you need to not only hear, not only will you see with your eyes, but now you need to pay attention to the things that you have heard and that you have seen by revelation. You give time to it. It says our hands have handled. In other words, there was a physical interaction of with that word. Amen. They interacted with the word. They went and they did it. They worked it out of the word of life. It says, now, having done all this, the life now becomes manifest. Manifest where? In your mind, your will, emotions, and in your physical body. You have heard it. You have seen it by revelation. You have looked upon it. You have investigated. You have given attention to it. Amen. And then you now begin to interact with it, handle it physically. You experientially by using the word, the blood, the word of the spirit. You now experientially experience that thing in your physical life. Your mind becomes clear. Your emotions are more controlled. Your eyes have revelation. Your physical body begins to feel the manifestation of that life. You said that life will now be manifested unto you, and then only then can you bear witness of that life that's been made manifest. Where? In your mortal flesh. Then you now begin to bear witness. And he says, and now you begin to show unto others that eternal life which was with the Father and is now made manifest in you. You now begin to declare it such that the whole people will see and they will not be able to gainsay. That's what he was saying by revelation. That which you have heard us see, declare we unto you. Hello, folks. You can only declare what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have seen by your revelation, and what you have interacted with. Otherwise, you're a false witness. You will not be a false witness in Jesus' name. Amen. You will not be a false witness in the name of Jesus. There are too many false witnesses around trying to declare. And what they have not worked out, what they have heard but have not seen, what they have not interacted with, and certainly what they have not manifested. So when they speak, there's no power. Then they say, welcome on me. Then they say, where's their God? Where's the evidence of the things you have spoken? If you're just talking, that is all talk. No, it's not. We are going to show that in this day. Amen. So, if you hear the word of life, and you will hear it, imbibe it, you will come to see by revelation. And then as you work it out, as you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, over time, what you have heard, what you have seen, and what you have now worked out will be manifested first in you. And then over time, through you, so others will be able to see and be attracted to and then fellowship with the same Lord that you have seen, heard, worked out, and are manifesting. Amen. This is how it's going to work, folks. That's what Peter was saying. Said, we speak the things which we have heard and seen, and even though he didn't say so, that's why we're manifesting for you to see. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what the whole world is waiting for, folks. The Bible says the whole of creation is waiting for the what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. That's what they're waiting for. And that's what the Lord will cause them to see and be manifested through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's try and close now. Help, Lord. I trust we're getting something out of this. So, verse 21 now. So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing. They will find nothing in Jesus' name. They will let you go in Jesus' name because there will be nothing there. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And God will justify you before men, before nations. Amen. He will give your mouth an anointing that they cannot gainsay. Amen. Instead of throwing them in prison, they let them go. And they're going to let us go too. Amen. And notice here, it says they finding nothing how they might punish them because of people, they let them go. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Again, we see here the heart of these men. It wasn't so much because they were convinced. It was because of the people. If all the people will riot, let's just leave that. You know, that's a political leadership. They intermingle politics with their faith. So it's more expedient to submit to the whims and caprices of the people than to do anything with conviction. Amen? But it's his word in Jesus' name. All these elders, they just wanted to please the people rather than do what was righteous. Amen? Amen. But they said they had to let them go. So, now let's close at verse 22, helping them. Oh, dear Lord. I trust we got something out of this. Okay. Now this verse 22 speaks. You know, I said, God, why is this here? But look what it says. He says, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And I said, Lord, why is this verse here? Why is this so? I mean, the guy wasn't named. He was just told, we just were told that he had been lame from his birth. And so we see this. Why God? I said, why do you make a point of putting this man's age and not his name? And God spoke back and said, he's every man. Amen. And God cares for all of his creation regardless of what your name is. Amen. And God used this man as a type for every single human being on the face of the earth. Amen. Now, several things came to me here. First of all, 40 is the age of enlightenment. Amen. The Bible says Moses, when Moses was a full 40, it came into his mind what the thing that God wanted him to do for him. Now, this guy was 43 years old. So you can say in one sense, he was a little behind time. But it's never too late with God. Amen. It's never too late with God. God will visit you, amen, at the time and at the season, amen, and he will deliver you like he delivered this guy. And not only did he deliver him, he gave him a witness. At this man, forever, I'm sure until the day of his death, he'll be saying what happened to him at the gate, beautiful. What was he doing? Witnessing for God, proclaiming evangelism. God made him an evangelist, a proclaimer of the good news of the gospel, and he had the physical evidence to back it up. After 40 years old, you're never too old in Jesus' name. God will visit you. You may be a little behind schedule, but never give up. Keep standing in the place where you are. And the guy was that gay beautiful for 40 years. Right from when he was young. He was a beggar. I don't know how many, maybe at least 40 years. Let's say 40. From the day he was born, he was lame. And they brought him to begin to beg alms at a very age. He was begging for 40 years. Wow. But one day, two messengers of glory came to him and they said, look on us. Gold and silver have none, but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And God says, he leapt up and his ankle bones received strength. Your ankle bones receive strength. You will leap and you walk in this day in Jesus' name. But you must pay attention to the messengers that God sends to you. And then your entire life will change in the name of Jesus. Now, again, the Lord says God will do each for the same to each and every one who looks unto him in faith, hearkening unto his anointed servants. Amen. And receiving by faith the word of God that came through them and believing it and working it out. Amen. The man was, again, will say he was lame for 40 years. And it says, it doesn't matter. This is what the Lord was telling me. He said, it doesn't matter the circumstances of your birth. Pastor was preaching out on Wednesday, talking about the nativity of Jesus and the Lord Jesus being born in the most humble place possible, in a manger where there were beasts, horses and cattle, a stinking place where no man should ever have to be born. But that he did that by going to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest possible when he was going to begin his advent on the earth. And the same with this guy here. This guy was born lame. He had been given up on. 40 years, nothing happened. What are the physical circumstances of your situation? Is it your birth? Is it being born in Nigeria? God forbid. you know, there's some people that don't like the fact that they're Nigerians. I don't want to name names. One of them said the day he found out that Nigeria was, he cursed himself. That how can he be born Nigerian? I said, you don't know who Nigeria is. Nigeria is God's firstborn. You are privileged. God has given you the privilege of being a Nigerian and you spurn it. You will answer to God. I was just saying that in my heart. I just read it in an article. Hello, folks. Pastor prophesied many years ago and I've never forgotten it. He said, one day all these people will be running for Nigerian visas. Nigerian passport, not visa. That green passport is going to become the most prized possession among the nations of the earth. Because Nigeria will rise and shine. Amen. They have said, has any good thing, can any good thing come out of Nigeria? We've already seen the blade. It started. Thank you, sir. We've already seen the blade. Then it's going to be the ear. Then the full crown will manifest. And then they will come. The Bible says, kings will come to the brightness of our rising. And the nations to our light. Nigeria is blessed. The firstborn of the Lord will enter. But this is what we're saying here. No physical circumstances. See your family? Are there generational difficulties? All that God will deliver. God is able, but you got to make one commitment. And you will look upon the messengers that God has sent you, and you will obey them. Amen. You will expect to receive in faith, and then God will change your path and put each of us, every one of us, on the path to divine destiny. Hello, somebody. We'll close the Job chapter 8, I think verse 6, thereabouts. Says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall be far greatly increased. Amen. This is the word I believe God was trying to bring forth in this last verse. So we stop here for today, and we thank the Lord and trust Him to bring this word to our hearts and to cause us to live it and work it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Though you are small in the beginning. Can I have that scripture? Let me quote it. I don't want to just. Job chapter 8, I believe. Verse 6 or thereabouts. Yeah, verse 7. It says, though thy beginning was small. And all of us, in one sense or the other, have small beginnings. It says, yet thy latter end will greatly, not just increase, greatly increase. God has a plan for you. And that plan is a great plan. But pay attention. Use the word, the blood, and the spirit. Obey spiritual instruction. Humble yourself. And the Lord will bring it to pass in due season. And it will be marvelous in the eyes of all men. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great God we serve. This boldness. I covet it all. To speak the things which you have seen and heard. To declare the word of the Lord without intimidation. They will try and intimidate. Oh, the devil will try. But as we follow after those who from faith and patience have inherited the promises, obeying the word, we too will come to a place where we begin to understand by revelation, see by revelation, as we work out our salvation, we'll come to a place of manifestation, manifesting the things which we have heard, which we have seen, and then we declare the word without any recourse, or rather being subject to any intimidation from any quarter. Amen. The thoughts and attitudes of men will no longer count, but only the word of the Lord. We can do nothing against the truth but for it. Hallelujah. This is our destiny, Lord. This is the plan of God for us. Let's ask the Lord for mercy. Just to be close to you is where I long to be. I now hide myself inside your heart and find my destiny. Every step I take is one last step on me. I'll live in your presence, close to you. I'll live in your presence, Now respond to the word that has come this morning as we raise our hand to the Lord, put a hand upon our hearts, and we quickly speak these words of prayer as we respond to the things that God has spoken to us this morning. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood, in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an understanding of the need for boldness. So that like the apostles who had been with you, you will also hide me in you and help me to stay close to you under the instruction of spiritual fathers, so that I will receive a revelation of your resurrection and will manifest the same unto men in the name of Jesus. I ask for boldness to speak the word without fear, declaring your manifold wisdom to principalities and powers. Put into silence the foolishness of ignorant men in the name of Jesus. I beseech you for mercy, for grace and help, and the unction of your spirit under the covering of spiritual fathers. Thank you for great grace to speak your word and cause great power to give witness of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in and through me in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Lord, for revelation, understanding of the things that I've heard, the things which I've seen by revelation. Thank you for helping to work out these things, Lord, as I interact with you by the word, by the blood, and by the spirit, so perfecting holiness. And Lord, by experiencing the teaching of Christ and the life of God be made manifest in my mortal flesh, that I too will declare with boldness the manifold wisdom of God, attracting men unto you by the great things you wrought through me in this day. Thank you, Heavenly Lord, for revelation of these things. Help me, Lord, to redeem the name of the Lord that has been blasphemed among men by the power of the Spirit without measure, to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men in this day of your resurrection in us. Thank you, Father, for helping fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Receive boro brakatikai. Rebele baraka so komba ya barakai. Mere banzare. Father bilan zombe ya kalolo. Rembe sarakuron bishepe dimana. Rembele iselo baraka kaso konde dili. Rembele puro mane. Rembele bituro makasu kama. Umbara kumbara bimbara. Rembele binomano bidegaba. Renzere manabo sekezai. Rembele zaro sepele mo. Rembele mo sere. Rembele Father, Libaya Kakorobia Ka, Sedomaye, Rembele, Romele, Membele, Sunday, Bicabalo, Bia Paloma, Rendelo, Sepeloma, Father, Lemesekelo, Sharaha, oh God, Mare Sepeloma, Sakaro, Bebo, Setil, Rembele, Bisoma, Rembele, Bisoma, Kasekelino, Makaro, Libisakaro, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's proceed.
I'll take